This is Military Mondays with Major David Katz.
Major David Katz, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Morning, Howard. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. It's been a very, very difficult weekend when we look at what's going on in New Zealand. There's been terror attacks there. There's certainly been a terror attack or two in Israel. The nature of military is most definitely changing. And what I'm curious about is, and we've mentioned it before, but fighting an enemy from within the confines of our own suburbs and churches and synagogues and mosques is a very, very different way to fight a war that, you know, if I think about, let's say, the First World War or anything prior to that, where lines were literally drawn and you fought against soldiers, fought soldiers. Now, excuse me, anything is fair game.
Well, that used to be the old conventional way of war, which was, I suppose, no less horrific and damaging than what we face today. And then we got into a stage of total war where populations were involved. You know, it never used to be like that. In the 19th and 18th century, armies used to avoid civilians and try to maintain the cities and not destroy the way of life. Then we got into a situation of total war, Second World War, where civilians were drawn into the conflict and in this new industrial area. Now we're in a totally different situation. Now that the conventional war is no longer a way of war, we're looking at this asymmetrical type warfare where there is no front line anymore. The walls fought at the borders, within the borders, within the population itself. It's a very difficult situation.
What does it do to us? What does it do, obviously, in terms of psyche? What does it do in terms of how we defend this sort of thing? Where is the battlefield?
Well, that's exactly it. You can't really define exactly who the enemy is and where the battlefield is. So you need to adapt your military to tackle a new way of war, which can come from anywhere, can come within, from without. And we have to change the way we perceive an enemy. I sat in a meeting last week where we were discussing the threats against Africa, and somebody piped up there, oh, South Africa has no enemies. We're in a fortunate position. South Africa has no enemies. That's just so patently untrue, say something like this. And this was coming from a military person. We certainly have enemies out there. They may not be the conventional enemies. They may not be the enemies of the past sitting on our borders. In fact, on our borders, we have friends these days. But there are enemies within and without that we face.
But what does that mean to a military? You know, surely we don't, the whole military training should be very different.
Yes, absolutely.
Instead of going through, you know, marching and leopard crawling through fields because you're fighting somebody on a border, everything surely needs to be very, very different. Have global military organizations, adjusted to the need?
Yes, absolutely. Certainly they have, and the conventional way of training still stands. But what has happened now is that there's a move to educating our young leader groups and giving them high education. So these days you're looking at, before you get promotion, you're looking at an honors degree or even a master's degree. And why is this so? Because we're looking at a different style of leadership in today's terms. So in other words, responsibility and innovation has to be devolved downwards. No longer can sit in the hands of the generals, because when your lieutenant is out there all alone and has to respond to a situation, he needs to be able to make decisions. Some of these youngsters are even going to find themselves in a position that they're the judge in a situation, or they're the politician in a situation to defuse the situation. So they need to be highly educated individuals. So this is what's happening, is that the armies are moving to a higher degree of professionalism to combat these type of situations, that decisions need to be made at very low levels to decrease the time.
Yeah, because it's almost impossible to anticipate every type of situation that you might find yourself in as a military person defending civilians.
Absolutely.
Because you're in a mosque or you're in a shul, synagogue, a church. Yeah. You could be in a school. You could be absolutely everywhere.
can be anywhere, and also that's why there's also a move. Another way of responding to this is a move back to the old home guard system, the old commando system, where you recruit people from your area. And the reason why you're recruiting people from the area, because they know the area very well. They know who's there.
Right.
So it becomes
much more localized.
Well, and also people will feel easier reporting to people that come from the area, because there seems to be a hesitancy to report to outsiders, and there's no trust in the police services, etc. So now you're reporting to people that live in the area, that have skin in the game, they have a stake in that area, and they know the area very well. And then they are able to see if there's anything unusual in that area, because these attacks don't take place in isolation, or they're not impromptu. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of planning that goes behind it. So somebody that's looking to attack somewhere, like a religious building, an institute, is going to plan it, and he's going to do reconnaissance, and he's going to do a lot of research on it. And we need to be able to pick it up way before the time, because there's a lot of preparation that goes into these type of things.
Mm.
So if we are well prepared, and we change the way we look at things, and we look for those signs, these things can be picked up well before the time, because the signs are there. This guy in New Zealand didn't go out there and just go and commit this crime, and he woke up in the morning and went and did it. There's no ways about it.
No, it's very clear. Years,
huge
or
preparation
months of
that
planning.
He did it. Absolutely. And there's probably a network of people behind him helping him.
Right. Right. What is interesting as well is I would imagine that this relies more and more heavily on community type of organizations. For example, within the Jewish community, you've got the CSO, which takes care of community security. I spoke yesterday to Suleiman Al-Kindi, who's involved in the Muslim community, and he in fact put me onto somebody who takes care of this type of thing within the South African Muslim community. We are going to try and get them on the show. We unfortunately weren't able to get them on today, but just to talk about how these, because there's no doubt that the whole concept of defense and security needs to be almost taken back into the community itself, because if there was and it's not of course to blame anybody about this event, certainly in New Zealand or anywhere else, but had there been locked doors, security, etc., it would have made it that much more difficult. But because we naively and most religions have been like this, naively consider a place of prayer to be a holy place, and one where nobody's going to try and, you know, do something like
this. Place of refuge, safety.
Yeah, and our guard is down, so to speak. So you know, it's undoubtedly that this comes back to community organizations themselves.
There's no doubt that the community has a big role to play in this, but I would say to you that community organization, and I must say, I think we're ahead of the game in South Africa when it comes to, certainly the Jewish community is a bit ahead of the game in having some type of a community, involvement in the security of their shuls.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, you're going to have to involve some of the statutory forces.
No,
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
And I think it should be a combination. There should be a relationship between the two. And I think there is. I think the Jewish community, gets involved with the police on a lot of different aspects. But these days, terrorism can come in the form of 12, 14 people, attacking a building with AK-47s. There's no ways that a community defense organization is going to be able to handle that type of weaponry. So you're going to have to call in forces that are trained in this task and have reasonably heavy weapons to meet it. So it's got to work hand in hand. No doubt about that.
Do we have structures that liaise with these types of organizations? I mean, would the military or perhaps the police have a division that is dealing with these community organizations in general?
I think there's close cooperation between some of these community security organizations and the police. They share information. And certainly, I think up to this stage, there's been very close cooperation with great effect. I must tell you, there's been some arrests made on the back of these organizations working together. Some high-profile arrests recently in Cape Town.
absolutely fascinating. I'd love to hear from you. 34519 or 0618951019. A couple of SMSs. And Sun says the government needs to bring the army back onto the streets to control crime. They need to overcome the fact that the old order used the army on the streets. We need to bring crime down to an acceptable level if South Africa is to have a chance. It's much more important than Eskom in that opinion. Wendy says, you were speaking about using straws this morning. Why do we use straws anyway? What's wrong with the humans putting an actual lips to a glass or a cup to drink their beverages? What did we do before straws? All right, Lola agrees with me about the synagogues and the shuls. I agree with you, Howard. Thanks, Lola. Peter says, to shut a synagogue for Shabbat is wrong. It might buy points with people, but we must put God first. Where it is written, the synagogue must not be open to solidarity with another religion. That is Peter in Johannesburg. So, yeah, I think there are many other ways to show solidarity. I don't think you need to show solidarity by shutting a synagogue down over Shabbat, which is a requirement in Jewish law. What are you putting first? There are other ways to show solidarity. I do believe very strongly in showing solidarity, but there are ways in which to do it, and certainly not a way, not by letting terrorists win. What do you think, Major David Katz?
No, I agree with you. Absolutely. I remember when...
You don't need to be scared not to, just because aggressive today.
No. You haven't said a word wrong today. I mean, the music choice was not good, and I agree with you.
No, it was not a nice song.
Sure. Sorry, Zanati. Oh. But that's the truth. It's just the honest truth. That song was no good. I remember when we had that incident in the States with the shul.
Pittsburgh.
How we packed the shuls out that next part over here.
To me, that's the right answer. And in fact, people of other religions came into shuls to show solidarity with the Jewish community around the world. That's the way in which to do it. Go to a mosque, go and find a way to show solidarity. You don't show solidarity by shutting a shul down.
When you're in trouble, show defiance. That's what I mean.
100%. Exactly. Well, I don't know. I seem to feel quite strongly about that, don't I?
Yep,
David, looking forward 5 years, it's very, very clear to me that communities in New Zealand, and I would imagine the Jewish community is no different to the Muslim community, in that they didn't anticipate something like this. They didn't expect, and they probably don't have the structures that we have here in South Africa around protection. We've also seen, though, in South Africa, a couple of mosques have come under attack in the last year.
Yes, they
have. Certainly been a concern for us. We've spoken about that. This has happened over and over again. Looking forward 5 years, and look forward 5 years, what do you think it's going to look like? I mean, are we going to be living in all around the world, religion-wise, are we going to be living in self-imposed, military-style environments?
Well, I think liberty comes at a price, unfortunately. And the more security you have, the less liberty you've got. But that's the age that we're living in. And I think the writing's on the wall. I don't see the situation improving over the next 5 years. I think we can improve security, and as I said, we can improve our awareness, and we can build rare area structures that safeguard our institutions and our national key points. That can be done, and I think every citizen has to be involved. But we up against it. It's very easy today to become a terrorist. Very, very easy. It's not like it used to be 40, 50 years ago. I mean, you know yourself, the communication levels now
because people are being recruited in their own living rooms.
Well, I mean, you don't need
to go around the world to...
Sure. But the communication between these groups, I mean, there's so many platforms that you can communicate with like-minded people. And there's so many, when I was looking at this video, I must say I watched the whole video. When I looked at it, it looked like a first person shooter. And that's what struck me, is that how close this is to one of these little video games that you've got.
So these video games are just simulators. So that you actually saw the barrel of the gun he's moving it from left to right.
Left to right.
It could be like I'm sitting in my playroom watching my kids play one of those.
Absolutely.
It was that surreal.
So these first-person shooters are nothing less than simulators. Nothing less than simulators. So you've got your homegrown simulator, you've got your communication where you can find like-minded groups, and also you've got information that you just go into the net. Whatever you need to know,
sits on YouTube, on the net, videos,
you can actually train yourself in higher education on how to be nefarious. So, We're up against it. There's no doubt about it. I don't see the situation improving in the next 5 years, but certainly we're not helpless. We can do a lot to mitigate the situation.
Well, we really have absolutely no choice, do we?
No choice.
And you know, the one conversation that never seems to come up, and I did get a message on it earlier. Thank you for doing so. Is in January of this year there was a terrorist attack on a church in the Philippines. We've had Christians being persecuted, certainly in the Middle East, at an alarming numbers. Religion. You know, people who practice religions are not safe.
No.
Unfortunately, no. We are targeted. Whether you are Christian or Muslim or Jewish, you are a target, and that is going to affect how we behave in those environments. Ronnie wants to know, where are all the bigots who shared this tragedy, but not a word about the thousands of rockets and incendiary balloons raining down on Israel, shootings, car ramming, stabbings, because who were the victims? Jews. Ronnie, I think your frustration is palpable. I don't think it's ill-placed, but I do think that our responsibility is not to say where were you, but rather to express our horror when something like this happens. I believe if we behave correctly, then that's all we can do. I don't think it's ever going to help us to point out and to point fingers and saying, look, you know, we're here for you. Where were you when something like this happened to one of us? Because I just think the only way that we can behave, the only way, it's going back to that horrible song that I played earlier, Look What You Made Me Do. It nobody makes us do. We do. And I think if we just behave correctly, and if we behave in a way that is moral and caring towards others, that is all that can be expected of us. I mean, I know it sounds like I'm preaching, and I really don't like doing that, but I really do feel very, very strongly. Jenny says the war's become a war against God and God-fearing people. That's actually very interesting, because as I'm saying it, that's exactly right. It's a war against Jews and Muslims and Christians. It just depends on where you're fighting it from, but that's indeed...
We are all facing a common enemy. There's no doubt about that.
And maybe the sooner we realize it, the sooner we can defeat that. It is 9 o'clock.